act like you're not impressed.
You will never find a more wretched hive of scum and villainy. We must be cautious.
Damn you, shark the punk!
San Diego. Which, of course, in German means a whale's vagina.
Alright, hello, this is Jeff Carlson for the CCMP podcast. This is going to be a special one. It's not going to be in order of the normal years, ones that I've been doing. This is a special one, and I'm with a founder, Aaron Babcock, today. He's one of the originators, so...
I'm the founder now, because you got to remember Tricky missed a year because he decided to work, even though his boss told him to go, so he no longer has founder status.
Well, he was pissed at that, because I remember that, because we gave him the nickname Rat Bitch, too.
That's right. And he chose to go to work instead of coming to the symposium, so he lost his founder status. So he can bitch and moan and whine about it all he wants, but he knows what the truth is.
Oh, okay. That'll work. All right. Just basics. What made you two basically come up with this whole idea of the symposium?
We were sitting at Rich's first wedding of three. And saying how we're all, 24, 25 years old at the time, saying we've got to find ways to make sure that we still see each other. We'd just come off a run where we'd figured out we'd spent 10 New Year's all as a group. Like every New Year's Eve, we'd all spent together having a party and cards and all that. And we decided we had to make sure we had a way to get together. So as Jerry and I sat in wonderful Fayette, Iowa, doing absolutely nothing one day, we decided, all right, we're going to start putting this together. We grabbed a thesaurus. And we just started making up crap to make this little newsletter thing that we did, which was like one page, trifold, stupid things in it. Sent it to 10 guys total for that first year, and the guys all said, what the hell, will come out. And that was the beginning, but it was basically just an excuse for us to keep getting together as we got a little bit older. Guys were starting to get married, people were starting to have other commitments, so we had to create an excuse for us to keep getting together.
Yeah, that's the way I remember. Like I said, I know I've talked about in the first podcast, you know, the ride out with Rich and Boo, and we weren't sure what we were getting into at that point.
I don't think anybody did. I know we had Jerry and I think had just gone to Vegas for something. I don't know why we were in Vegas, but as they used to have all the guys on the side of the road or on the streets handing out all the things for the strip clubs and every sex act, every sex place you could find. And Jerry and I on that trip grabbed every single one we could so that when everybody walked in the room that first night for cards, that they all had a ton of sex offers and things like that sitting at their table. You know, we had no idea. We fully intended to play cards from Friday night as soon as everybody got there until Sunday morning. Like, we weren't going to take a break. We were just going to play cards the entire time. And that was great until Jerry got drunk and we had to kick him out the first night. And then we realized perhaps playing cards the whole time is not going to work.
Yeah, I remember that. I was going to say, what is that probably your most vivid memory of that first year is kicking Jerry out because he got so belligerent in his own house that we...
That was the big thing, was kicking him out. I had also, as we went over to set up the night before, or that day, Thursday or Friday, Tricky was actually living next to one of my former students because I was a hall director at Upper Iowa at the time. And walked over there to help Tricky set up, look at my... his neighbor's apartment, and he had stolen all the furniture out of one of our rooms on campus. And so then I had to try and figure out what to do with that, which was interesting. But so we did all that. You know, everybody came down. Dwayne came down from Minnesota. He brought that disgusting green drink, whatever the hell it was.
Yeah.
And I know we left that up on Jerry's, the top of one of his cabinets, and it ate through the cabinet. And that happened. So... You know, a few months later, when Jerry finally got around to, like, cleaning up a little bit in his apartment, that had eaten through that cabinet top.
Yeah. So, trying to think of some stuff here. I mean, any year particularly stand out more than any other to you?
Aside from
your dad's bachelor party, which...
Well, I don't remember that. I remember very little of that. It's not necessarily specific years that stand out. It's more specific... incidents, you know, like I posted the picture of us all at the Cubs game when we went to that, and that was one of the best times. you know, so that was a big deal. My dad's bachelor party was, you know, just a blast. The first time we walked into Daisy Duke's, you know, I remember that, and Tony's bachelor party for that. But really, I mean, there's specific incidents like that, but for me it's more the concept of the CCMP and the symposium and just an excuse for us all to get together. This was the one thing when I got married that was non-negotiable, is that I will not miss this weekend. And the only time I've missed so far, you know, was a work-related trip where they sent me to Vegas. And that's what it took, was a week's paid trip to Vegas for me to miss a few hours of
which it. I believe you also played in part of the World Series of
and
Poker.
I played in the actual World Series of Poker, yeah. One of the preliminary events that week. And it made me realize the guys in our group can play cards, because I could hold my own in that event, and I was just as good as 90% of the players. You know, the professionals, obviously, that group, no. But everybody I played with, and I probably played with 75 or 80 different guys while I was in that event, I could hang with every single one of them. And I wouldn't say I'm the best card player in our group. So the fact that our group can play cards, that's for sure.
Okay. I'm trying to think if there's anything particular. I mean, I know I've told stories. Oh, okay. As when you guys first started this, and mm-hmm. you said it was basically a way for us to get together, and I agree, it worked great, and it's worked out great. At the time that you started this, did you see that we could that this would go for 20 years?
No. We had no intention. We're like, we're going to do it, and we're going to get all the guys to come out. And that was our grand intention. That's all we knew. And then it just kind of blossomed to earth. Because like I said, that first year, I think it was 10 or 12 guys that first year. There's not a single picture. We sat around and played cards with the old cheap plastic red, blue, and white chips. I think we had a total of like 4 decks of cards, and we sat in Jerry's apartment the entire weekend with no air conditioning, one ceiling fan, and so the cards
and
were
windows
like,
painted shut.
And windows painted shut. And the windows were mush by the time, or the cards were mush by the time we get done. So we had no intention of doing that. If we were just making up words, the CCMP was us just looking up words in a thesaurus and saying, all right, what sounds funny together? In fact, we had done in that first brochure, there was a testosterone-induced toparic state for tits. That's what we thought, if anything was going to catch on, was that. And that never made an appearance again in anything we did. But it was one of those, we did it the first year, everybody had a blast. And we didn't kind of invite the world at first year, so we didn't know what was going to happen. And we only had Jerry's little apartment, so we didn't know what was going to happen there. So the second year, we invited a lot more people. And that was the year we had 16, 17 people and multiple card games going on. And we went and golfed at the little course in Fayette when Mark got kicked out when he was, what,
yeah,
was
that
it,
happened there, or did that happen at the...
Was no, that was in Fayette.
Bar.
That was in Fayette. Okay. Oh, I guess that could have been the year at the bar, because we went to the same golf course. But that's when we said, all right, let's invite a lot more people. Let's have fun, you know, make it a bigger deal. And probably by the second or third year, we realized, all right, maybe this is something we can make sure we do every year. And especially at that point, even more guys were getting married. So it was a way to, you know, and then for a while, we ended up with a bachelor party every single year. So it kind of turned into the bachelor party / guys weekend, so that's just a chance for everybody to act like we're 21 again.
Yeah, which we still do. I mean, I've heard it from comedians, and it's very true, and I made the comment when we talked about when we went out to see Craig. It's very funny how men are, as we... When we get together, we revert to the age of when we first met each other, for
yeah,
all intents
very
purposes.
Much so. Yeah, I mean, there's... Yeah, I mean, some of the stupid stuff... I think you just posted the picture of Adam and... Ed with, cigarettes shoved up their nose.
Those were RJ's, I believe.
RJ's, okay. But, you know...
And the short T-Rex arms were RJ, too.
If that doesn't go back to when we're 13, 14 years old, all meeting each other, I don't know what does. That's funny.
Yeah.
You know, it is. I saw that picture, and I'm laughing out loud in my office at work, and people are like, what's wrong with you? Why, you know... And it's a picture I've seen 1,000 times. It's not even anything new. So, yeah, I mean, I very much so we revert back to that, you know, and a lot of this is kind of friends and who's going to fit in and who's going to have fun. But, you know, it's for me, it's a lot. I have to be professional all week, and I've got to, you know, and then I come home and I've got a 9-year-old daughter, you know, so I can only act a certain way there or choose to. So it's my chance to just be stupid and not worry about it. And it's also the kind of group right now, it's not like you can go put on an act. You know, I've known most of you guys for 25 years. Am I really going to go, like, try and act differently than I would? You guys would call my bullshit so fast that... There'd be no point in it. It's kind of like playing cards. Like, how do you bluff guys that you've been playing cards with for 25 years?
Yeah. Let me see. I kind of want to keep this as a founder, you're being a founder. I kind of want to go back and talk about process probably of that first year. I'm not saying that you remember everything that happened, and you've kind of talked about it, but throwing the brochure together. Okay, for like you said, you were looking it up for the most part, but how did you come up with the CCMP moniker?
The masculine prestige part, we knew we just wanted something about Guys Weekend. So we came up with the masculine and the prestige. I don't remember that where that exactly came from, but the consortium was, we were looking for what's a fancy word for a group of people, which is where consortium, and that's how symposium came into being as well, because we had found something in the some reference about a consortium and their symposium. So we're like, well, screw it, we're stealing that idea. That's awesome. And then it was going to be continuous, but that was too simple of a word, so we had to go find a word that...
Well, that's what I was going to say. You guys just picked that first word just to screw everybody up. Yeah. Nobody can pronounce.
Exactly. So the consortium, it was the group for continuous continuous guys advancement or something like that. It's kind of how it started. We just started looking through the thesaurus and coming up with our words. And that's how we did it. And that tells you how old this thing is. It wasn't on the internet. It wasn't anything else. It was a book, a thesaurus, an actual paper book, sitting there looking up words, is how we had to do it.
And, I mean, for you, even though you do that, I was going to say that first year, looking back on it from what we've done and where it is now, the amount of organization that was in that first year was pretty much nothing.
Oh, no.
Aside from you guys having tables, poker chips, and cards.
That's all we did that first year. We didn't know what we were doing for food. We hadn't planned any of that. We hadn't planned any alcohol. We hadn't planned anything. It was come play cards for a weekend. And that was the entire set of plans that went into it. Dwin brought that alcohol thing on his own. He brought some terrible big-ass Pete or...
Yukon Pete. Big-ass Will.
There you go. He brought that poem on his own. Like, nobody had any clue. Nobody knew what was going on. You know, even everybody worked out rides on their own for who was coming out with who. All that kind of stuff that, you know... So it's kind of funny. I go back and forth. We do so much now on the weekend that there's a lot of opportunities to do different things and have fun. We disc golf and golf, and there's three poker tournaments and four poker tournaments, and there's all this different stuff going on.
And we play paintball and we play paintball.
Yeah. But there was a lot to be said for just the simple everybody show up and see what the hell happens. There's too many of us. When you're talking 20 plus people, there's just too many to say just show up and see what happens.
I believe I may have gotten the number wrong. There was one year, the most we've had is, 32 people?
It was somewhere time? Right around 30 that we had. That included kind of those who had come for part of the weekend. But 30, right around 30 is the most that we've had. We've settled in 23, 24, give or take. We have a lot more people now who come part of the weekend because of family commitments or work or whatever it is. And I would call them a bunch of pussies, but I have to miss part of this year for my daughter's dance recital. So,
I myself am the only one that has not missed anything.
Yeah, you
and Tony, technically, I don't believe has missed anything but the only reason that he misses in his entire life, he never missed anything as far as
whatever.
Part of it was because it was at his house, so it was kind of hard.
Well, and that does help. Yeah, I mean, I would love to have said I've been at every piece, but, for me, it's also, this is a critical for me to be there. It was a hard decision to decide. I'm going to my daughter's dance recital, and I'll have to miss part of it, but, some things matter just as much as this, but to me, this is my family as well, so it's something that matters to me. My boss wants, there's a conference every year that falls on the same weekend my boss wants to go to, and he's given up the argument because he knows he's not going to win because I'm not skipping this to go to that conference.
Yeah. Let's see. Anything particular? Like you said, it's not so much the weekend itself; it's individual portions of the weekend.
Mm-hmm.
So, is there anything particular you remember about the bar that year?
The bar was interesting because there was no place to sleep. There was this little stage, and the three of you fat guys all passed out on the stage.
That would be the year
stage.
That I don't remember. Although, right. Oddly enough, I remember a lot more than I think I should because I know I was wasted when I showed up.
But that was when we were still young, and so we had no intention of sleeping. Like, where you were going to sleep was never a consideration because, for the most part, you didn't. You got there, and it didn't start till Friday night, so it was easier. It was only two nights. You got there Friday night, and you stayed up until Sunday morning, and you hoped somebody was coherent enough to drive home Sunday morning. And I remember us going through the kitchen for the bar that had been closed down for a year and said, yeah, we can use some of their food or some of their leftover Tabasco sauce or their leftover spice or whatever, and realizing that wasn't a good idea. The guys went out to sleep in their cars, and the police kicked them out and said they had to go back in the place. The logistics were terrible there because we had no place to play cards and no room. Just the idea that we held this in a closed-down bar just fit, you know, kind of what we were trying to do. And it was different. It was something that we hadn't done before, but that was the year then we realized, okay, we've got to actually plan this thing out. We can't just say, show up and see what the hell happens. It's got to be, we've got to put some effort into this. Otherwise, it's not going to be as much fun because we're going to spend too much time dealing with everything else. So, the year after that is where we ended up at Tony's house, but that's when we got a lot more organized about, okay, we've got to make sure we have enough to, you know, because we got to the point where we needed 2 to 3 poker tables and we needed to have, you know, 40 decks of cards, and we needed tons of poker chips. And
I think at that time we were still just the three night. We were still only Friday. I don't think we started the Thursday.
No, we were still just Friday night. So it was still just 2 days. But it, you know, then it was okay. If there's 15 guys from Rockford coming, how do we get them all there and make it make sense and not bring 15 cars down and trying to put all that together. So that was back in the day when we were still trying to decide we would start in January with emails and calls of, okay, what weekend works for you? What do you think we should do? How about this weekend for you? And I would spend 4 months trying to wrangle everybody and trying to find a weekend that worked. And no matter what I did, it didn't happen. So, but, you know, in our infinite wisdom, it still took us another 10 years to finally go, hey, perhaps we should just set a weekend and just leave it alone and quit screwing with this every year.
Yeah.
Because I just remember dreading it. We'd get done with, you know, New Year's event or whatever we're doing, and then I'd be like, crap, I'm going to spend the rest of my, you know, the next 3 months trying to figure out what weekend to have this thing.
Yeah. You know, it's just, and like I said, it's in my previous podcast that you've heard, I mean, I don't know, you said it, it was a way for us to stay together, and I've had people, including my brother, Jerry, even has said that he's amazed at how close of friends I have still, because mm-hmm. he's got a couple, maybe one, maybe two at most. I mean, but I've got this group, and like I said in the one post that I made when we went to see Craig, who mm-hmm. a friend of ours who'd been gone for 18 years,
right?
It still comes back to that we revert back to what the age we met, and I lost my train of thought because I started talking. Oh, he's got that, but it's like, We're still very much family. It's like you said, we have our disagreements and we have our arguments, but for the most part, we will be there for each other no matter what.
And that's, I've referred to it a lot as I try to explain it to people, is it's the fraternity I was never in and never wanted to be in college, but this is kind of like that mindset is, you know, we've all known each other forever. We're not everybody in the group's best of friends, but everybody's friendly and likes to spend time together and we enjoy it. But we also know this is the group that's going to be there when something happens. You know, the group of us went out to get Craig when he came back. We, you know, when my brother died, this was the group that every single person showed up for either his service or a couple guys came earlier, you know, made trips from all over the country to make it back. This is the group that if I truly need something, these are the guys I'm going to for help or for whatever I need. And yeah, to have a group like that, that you know you can count on, that is always going to be there. Even if I'm in a fight with somebody at the time, I know I can still count on them, you know, for whatever it is I'm going to need. There's a ton to be said for that. You know, you can't make new friends and 6 months later think, oh, they're going to be there for me when a tragedy happens or something goes on. But this is how it's supposed to me. This is how it's supposed to be. This is how you kind of your gang or your group or your guys go through life, and we just happen to put a name on it instead of just having to be the guys. It's here's the group.
Yeah. Well, I think at one point you even said it. So it's kind of like the girls can get together at any time for any reason and have mm-hmm. time. Guys almost need a reason to get together and hang out.
Well, yeah. I mean, a group of women can go to dinner together. A group of guys are not going to just go to dinner. So we got to have something to do, and we end up doing the same crap. We sit and gossip and talk and do all that stupid stuff the women do. We just gotta be playing cards while we do it.
Yeah.
Now we talk a little more shit, there's a little more swearing, there's a few more crude references, but the way we will...
No, we're guys, we're gonna bust each other's balls.
But there's no difference. A group of women will be very catty and very backhanded in their you know, the way they talk to each other, and they won't be overt about it. We'll just come on and say, hey, remember 20 years ago when you were a dumbass and you did this, and we'll keep bringing it up, and we'll never stop bringing it up.
So, well, I've said it at the beginning, too. Is like, I mean, I say, well, you know, we show up and it's our cordial stuff, but mostly it's hello, fucker, or hello,
right, exactly,
asshole, or whatever.
But, I mean, it's, to me, it's their terms of endearment, the way they're used. It's no different than the way I refer to my niece and nephews as buttheads.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's how I refer to my brother. It's a term of endearment, you know, depending on how you use it. I can tell you most of the guys in the group are assholes. Yeah, so what? They're my assholes. That's, you know, my guys. That's how it works. So, yeah, I mean, it's just, it gives it an excuse to get together. Between the Symposium and the Fantasy Football League, which a lot of the guys are a part of, it gives us a great excuse to still be friends and hang out together, and it gives us an excuse to talk and interact that we may not have, that I wouldn't want to give up. Even if I didn't talk to these guys for a year, we're still all going to be friends. But I enjoy spending time with my friends, and I enjoy interacting and talking and all that, so I want reasons to go do that.
Yeah, because I know I've talked, people have asked me about it, and I say, it's mostly, it started out as a group of friends, you know, the guys I went to high school with.
Mm-hmm.
And as it's gone along, we've just, we've added guys here, had people fall off, but, I mean, for the most part, that core group has stayed for most of it. I mean, yeah, well, we've got one that's probably returning this year, or said he's possible of returning, Rich, which would be cool. I also noticed, I'm wondering at which point during the time, because I keep posting the days, as we're counting down, because we're into, I don't want to date this, but it's 17 days till this year's symposium. Mm-hmm. And I keep posting, I'm posting pictures backwards from year 19 to the present, or to the first year, which won't be a first year picture because there wasn't one.
Right.
But at what point does Jerry's tricky shirt come off? Because at this point, Tricky's shirt is still on.
Yeah, I'll give him that he matured slightly. So instead of a 12-year-old, he now acts like a 13-year-old, which apparently is the year he put his shirt back on. So he does that once in a while now. But it is interesting to look at some of those pictures. As you get closer to zero, it's going to be very interesting, because then you'll really start seeing the guys when they were thin and before they all got fat. You go find some old pictures of Cliff and Kevin and those guys. Now I'm not talking Dwayne and Boo and those guys.
Well,
were
even
fat.
Dwayne,
that was
but even Dwayne, you could see the size difference in some of them. I mean, believe me, that first year one.
Well,
he actually looked. He was still big.
Right.
But he wasn't. He almost looked. He still looked somewhat athletic. As athletic as Dwayne ever looked. Okay, like I got room to talk because I know my pictures don't look.
Well, but then you've got the picture where Dwayne lost all the weight, and now the fat ass put it all back on. Hint, hint, perhaps you should start doing something again. But yeah, it's funny to go back and look at them. Even when, you know, we have kids over here, you know, kids of the group that come over and they'll see pictures, and they don't believe some of the pictures. I know Kevin's kids have seen one of the pictures I've got sitting out on the bookcase, and they don't recognize him. They can't tell that that's Kevin because it was him at really thin and kind of before everything has happened in life. So it's interesting to watch. I mean, you can go back and kind of see, oh, that's the year that we did this bachelor party. This was the year Rush got married. This was the year Aaron got married. This was the year Tony, you know, that Tony wasn't with us. So it kind of gives that historical timeline for the things we did.
Yeah. I don't know. There's so much about this. It's let's see. Do you have any thought? Okay, the 1 year, I don't think it's the worst year we had, but I wasn't. That's probably the year that's kind of, I would consider
the year of the
dark years, the cabin years.
Cabin.
Exactly. And I'm probably not the only one, because apparently, without me saying it,
the cabin sucked.
I think it mostly sucked because we were separated
so
much.
We had we'd been doing it at Tony's for a couple of years, and Tony's house was a piece of shit.
Plus, and he was moving.
He was moving, and so that was an issue.
Actually, we had gone to the Legion Hall first, because we went the 2 years at Tony's, went to the
Legion
Hall,
and then
went away, and then came back.
And the problem was the Legion Hall didn't have air conditioning, so that was a big deal for us. We were trying to get air conditioning. Also, there was no showers at the Legion Hall. Still isn't, but now apparently we don't care. But at the time, we were, so we said, all right, let's try this cabin thing. Also, it was up in the Quad Cities, so it put us near Daisy Dukes, it put us near golf courses, so we had a lot more options there. And it was worth trying. The problem was, is then we had three cabins, and to tell you how the group works, two of the cabins became smoking, one cabin was non-smoking, because two-thirds of the guys smoked. So those of us who were non-smokers, it was fine. The plus was I didn't have to go through all the smoke. But the problem was I played cards with the same seven guys the whole weekend. And we weren't all in the same room. Because there's a lot of times I don't play cards with somebody the entire weekend, but we're sitting at a table right next to each other, the way we set it up. So that kind of reinforced it's not about the cards, it's not about the activities, it's about the camaraderie and the spending time together. Because everybody hated it, but that was the weekend people disliked the most because we weren't in the same room. So it's all about making sure. That's why the Legion is it. It worked perfect. You throw down air mattresses on half and poker tables on the other half.
You've said it as I've said it. I mean, everybody says it. When we walk in there on that Thursday, mm-hmm. it feels like we're supposed to be there.
Oh, it is my second home. I get happy when I see the Legion Hall.
Well, I walk in just about every year. I walk in and I go, Lucy, we're home.
And it's stupid because it's just a physical place. But Adam, a few years ago, set it up so that you can now tag yourself at the symposium, and that's what the Legion... You can't tag yourself at the Legion Hall. You can only tag yourself at the symposium if you mark there. I keep waiting for some young kid at a graduation party to go try and tag himself at a graduation party at the Legion Hall, and it's going to pop up as the symposium.
In the middle of nowhere. We found out is not really the middle of nowhere.
There's not much there, but it works perfect because we're all in the same room the whole time. We're all spending time together. And
despite the fact that table sitting, that third year of the bar was probably one of my funnest years too. Unfortunately, there wasn't any seating or anything. Right. Like I said, I was completely bombed by the time I got there that year. But I remember that year, and it seemed like we were in a good quarters. We were all together, and it was a constant.
On that aspect, yeah. That's
very much what the Legion Hall is.
Yeah, I mean, that's the whole point is to have that interaction. Just like I don't play bags usually. I only play bags if we have to because I'd make an even team. But I just want to sit out there and hang out with everybody while they're doing it. It's not about playing bags for me. It's about am I spending time with them. It's not about winning a poker tournament or playing it. It's about, being with my friends and spending time with them. And, and I think most guys have that. Nobody really goes to the symposium with the mindset of, okay, I've got to go win $200 this weekend. I've already given you all my money and anything I win, who cares? But it's about just spending that time. And that's where having us all in one place helps. And that's where, like, when we golf, it's all, we usually don't do a shotgun start because we're all at the same hole together starting off. And, I love it when we play at a course where the holes run next to each other so we can talk trash and see each other as we're going.
Yeah. I'm trying to think. Aside from the lovely year that we were kicked off the golf course, probably the golf course wasn't bad. We just got kicked out because we were doing something we really weren't supposed to be doing. We were told not to do it, but like I said, we weren't messing with anybody. It wasn't like we were really hurting anybody. But the year we were at the cabins, we also played on a course that we had no business being on. We played on the John Deere course, which is a PGA Tour course.
They should have kicked us off that course. We had no business being there. The marshal followed us the entire time on the course, and it wasn't fun because we couldn't be ourselves. We were trying to conform to what they wanted for their course. Instead of the Allwood course, where that course was terrible. That was like playing in my backyard. But we could do what we wanted. We could be ourselves, and nobody cared what we were doing. And that's what the whole point is to not put on pretenses and not be yourself. Just, here's who we are. This is us. Deal with it. And when we went to that course in the Quad Cities, we couldn't do that. It was, oh, you guys don't have collars on. Oh, let's have the marshal follow you. Like, screw that. Take us back to our home course where we know we all suck and we don't care. And it's just like the first year we did paintball. We went out and we just joined, a group that, or just went to a place and it was open on Saturday. So it was us and a whole bunch of other people. And instead of us just being able to be ourselves, we ended up having to, work with these other people and all of that. And it wasn't nearly as much fun. It was fun, but the next year when it was just us and we could just paintball and none of us knew what the hell we were doing except for Adam. That was so much more fun to just, this is us. We can go out and do whatever we want. We can have Rich and Dwin stand 3 foot from each other and just completely unload an entire, you know, thing of bullets into each other, and first one to flinch loses. You could never do that at the first course we were at, so.
No. I still, like I said, I've talked about the, I don't know if I've talked about it on here because I didn't talk about it, other than Dwin's lovely hiding position behind a twig.
He is still to this day convinced that he was hiding and no one could see him. The judge was in the other side of the tree and could see him, and everybody in the forest could see him and knew exactly what he was doing. He still is convinced he was hiding.
Yeah. I remember it was one of the last years, I think we were playing a 2-on-2, and it was you and somebody, I don't remember who you were with, and I was with somebody, and we managed to get rid of your first guy, and I come up behind you. I was like, I thought about it after I did it. I wanted to come up and just go bang, mm-hmm. but I'd previously seen Rich deal with it, and the guy spun around, and
yeah,
just a natural reaction to spin around, and I mean, he barely missed shooting Rich right in the face.
Yeah, I miss paintball. I'm sad that too many of the guys are pussies and won't go do it anymore.
Well, that I've always said, I'm too fat, I'm too old, and I'm too slow to...
You know what? But,
but we're all too old
if
and
everybody's
fat
all
too slow.
Yeah, if everybody's in the same position, it doesn't matter. It's still all relative. And that's what was nice is when we went out as a group by ourselves, Adam was the only one who knew what he was doing. The rest of us didn't know what we were doing, so it didn't matter. There was no advantage. There was no... You know, relatively, we were all equal. Whether you're all equal at great skill, no skill, or somewhere between, it doesn't matter. If you're all relatively the same, it works out great. It's kind of the same thing when we golf, except for a couple of guys. We're all basically hackers. We're just going out hitting the ball, and holy shit, once around I have a great shot. You know, there's a couple guys who play much better than that, and a couple guys that are serious about it. But for the most part, we're all kind of in the same boat. And so we don't care if we go play a nice course. We don't care if we're at the fanciest place. You know, give us a place that's just going to let us be ourselves and play, and that's what matters. You can look at cards the same way. The fact that 99% of us are all fairly equal in our card ability makes it more fun. It's not like we're all just giving our money to one guy or, you know, whatever. We're all, you know, for the most part, we're all basically the same. It just makes it more fun when as long as everybody's relatively the same, it doesn't matter where that relative part is. It's just, it all works out.
Yeah. I had a question. I don't remember what it was. Trying to think. Do you remember what year was it that we went away from playing just the dealer calls every day, and we started playing into the... It was the year after Barconi won the World Series of Poker.
That part I have no idea.
It was the year before Moneymaker won it.
It was before Moneymaker that we added in...
Playing actual hold.
I want to say it was right after Rounders, and Rounders was right before Moneymaker, if I remember correctly.
They talked about the fact that Barconi was... They were almost calling him a real-life Rounders because Barconi was so-so, but he had been in law school or had graduated law school or whatever and then went into playing.
It was because we watched Rounders. And the funny part is...
Because I remember 10-3 or 10-queen was like one of the hot hands because that was what he was winning on.
But we named our event the World Series of Poker because we all knew about it. It wasn't like it was this event that none of us had ever heard of. We had all heard about the event. We all knew Johnny Chan. We all knew, you know, we didn't know all the players, but we knew about it. We knew the event. We just had never played that way. And so we decided, let's throw a tournament in and see what happens, just to see, do we like this? And now I love how we have it set up, that we do a tournament Thursday night, we have a tournament Friday night, now we've got the heads-up tournament, just keep adding different things. I love on the Friday night tournaments that we've had different things, you know. The first year, Rush won two. The first time we had two tournaments, Rush won them both.
And yeah, so the third year I came up with the idea that we were putting a bounty on it. Without him knowing.
Yeah, the fact that he didn't know, and any time he was even close to all in, the whole room would like get up and watch him, and he had no clue what was going on. It was just priceless.
Because I do remember setting it up, because I walked in and I said, before Rush got there, I was like, okay, listen up, I told you about it, and you said, that sounds like a good idea. So I said, okay, what I need is everybody, we're going to put in some, like $5 or a dollar or whatever it was, and this is a bounty on Rush. Whoever takes Rush out gets the money. Yep. If Rush wins it, Rush will get the money for the bounty.
Yep, and I've never seen so many people stampede that provide money for the opportunity to take Rush out. you know, but yeah, I mean, to get to do that, and when we did the year, everybody put in $5, and if you took somebody out, you took their $5.
That was cool. Glenn liked that,
everybody signed it. Glenn framed his, and it's still, you know, and I remember when we moved Glenn down to Florida and taking that with us and making sure that got packed away and went with
us. Oh, that's one of those things that's a memory, too, for us. I mean, that's something. It wasn't about winning the $5 from everybody. It was a way to show, you know,
what you've done, and it's still, you know, 7-8 years later, the first time we did it, it's still a conversation piece about, when, blah, blah, blah.
Well, he's actually brought it to us in both of them a couple of times.
So,
a couple of them have said it, you know, he could have that frame. Now, he actually ended up winning that also.
I think so,
He won the tournament that year, but it was like, but the point was, is, you know what, you didn't have to have that many $5 bills to win, you only need one.
Yeah. but yeah, I mean, but it's still about the memory. That just goes to show you, the memories of what happened were worth more than the money. Because he's got $40 worth of $5 bills framed. It's about the memories are worth more than the $40.
Oh, yeah.
So I guess that's one thing, you know. The memories of all this is worth more than $40. May not be $50, but it's at least worth $40.
And that's what it is. It's the whole weekend. It's about the memories. Like you said, what have you ever... One of the biggest ones was 2 years ago when you guys went to that Cubs game. I mean, despite the fact that Jerry got drunk and basically got you at... did not get you kicked out. You were asked to remove him from the stadium.
we got kicked out.
And found an elevator, which you still can't find.
I can't. I've been there flat out sober, and I cannot find that elevator.
You gotta be drunk to find it.
That was one of the better days of my life that I've had. Just that the 12 guys all just went and had a great time together. The people around us were perfect. And it was just, and it was a group of people. There's not a chance in hell I would have ever, 10 years ago, thought I'm going to a game with this group of people, And that's one of the things that's been great about as people have gotten added to the group. I would have never known Phil. I knew Chuck a little bit, but not really. I never would have spent time at a strip club throwing dollar bills at Chuck and betting on who could hit her and who couldn't.
Yeah.
I would have never known Glenn. I wouldn't know, Paul. I wouldn't have known people. So, just as I've gotten to make more friends over time, I enjoy it because it's for people I wouldn't have become friends with otherwise. And so that's been another plus, is that it's just become a bigger thing because I get to meet people I never would have met otherwise.
Oh, Luke Bach.
We would have never met him. Air Force.
Which is really cool because, like I said, you probably don't want any more than that either. It's about once a year we see Bach. It's not any different. I mean, when we see, and I know in that cases, because I do remember this is kind of a story about Tony, just kind of throw out there. But I know that Bach's dad or somebody in his family had kind of a cancer issue also, and it was one of the years that Tony was still alive, and he talked to Tony. And Tony had just gone through his,
right?
And I know Tony had helped him through that.
Yeah. So yeah, I mean it's friendship boiled down to be where it should be, regardless of all the other crap that's going on and who's fighting with who and who's pissed off at who and whose wife is dealing with whatever. It's just go have fun, be stupid, and don't worry about things for a few days.
Oh, yeah, yeah. So, I mean, and like you said, there's tension, but it's nothing that's outside of what that weekend. That weekend, everything gets left.
Yeah.
Instead of what happens at the symposium stays at the symposium. What happens outside the symposium stays away from the symposium.
As much as possible, yes. As much as possible.
Aside from some stupid jokes that...
Yeah.
run amok that weren't good. Like you said, we've added these poker tournaments at the beginning of the weekend, like the Hold'em, and then, of course, the one that we run the Tony's one that we set up for Tony, which I don't know how we're doing that now, because I know half of the money doesn't really go to
anymore.
But we do make a donation at some point.
We the first year we kind of said, all right, it's a whatever the entry fee was, half goes to a scholarship in Tony's name at the high school, half goes to the winner. And what we did now is just all the money goes to the winner, but then we have part of the weekend cost is a donation to charity, and then we make sure that we get that money over to the school and contribute that to the...
Or to whatever.
Yeah. Because
I think one year you get bells for the church.
Yeah, we've used it for the church. We've used it for other things as well, but there's a scholarship in Tony's name, which was great this year because the kid who won part of it was this giant bowling geek. So that was very exciting since that's what Tony was.
Well, that's cool.
So, and he was in band as well. So it was like like Tony reincarnated, got this scholarship.
Oh, that's funny because my sister just bought a car. Her boyfriend just bought a new truck, and he told her he graduated from Harlem too. I didn't recognize the name, but she goes, he kept looking really familiar to me. And he goes, you know what it was? It would look. She looked a little like Tony in the eyes or something. I was like, okay, but so we did that. What was it asked like to start seeing if we wanted to play like the Omaha and then do the 50 and the 20?
Yeah,
was it just to try to do something different?
We had the Hold'em tournament, and we then wanted to do a special one for Tony. So as we had two, then it came really, why are we doing two of the same tournament? And some people had talked about wanting to do Omaha, and then some people didn't. So we just said, all right, great, let's split it up, and if you know people can kind of do what they want. And there's a group of the guys that have enough money that $20 really isn't a big deal for them, so they'd rather play for higher stakes. And so that's where it became, you know, and we needed to have three tables going anyways just to accommodate a number of guys, so it really didn't cost anything or hurt anything to have three separate tournaments going on, so then everybody got a chance to do a little something. And it was, you know, let's try something different, let's see what people like. Some people like to play Omaha, some people want to play a little higher stakes, some people don't. You know, to me it's no different than when the Nerd Herd came and, you know, we're playing board games and groups are doing that stuff, just as, you know, same thing. Like, let's go do different things and you never know what it'll take. You know, last year we did a heads up, you know, on Friday night, which was awesome. People had a blast with that. All of a sudden we're, you know, because it's something different that we had never done.
Yeah. Yeah. So, do you were say this year... I mean, like you said, we do different giveaways and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Not that I have anything. I know this year we're doing something a little which is cool for the 20th. Well, that's the other part of the reason I wanted to do this one now and see if we could get it posted before this.
You have 3 weeks. Like, I would hope 20, you get it posted.
Yeah, it's 20. Like I said, I don't know how much editing I'm going to do on this one, but I will. I'll listen to it and see what it sounds like. Again, this is the 20th year.
Right.
And like I said, at the time that we started, you never saw anywhere near getting to 20 years.
I never even gave a thought to going more than one. It was more just...
Or more than 10 guys.
Yeah. We thought it was going to be a weekend and the guys showed up. And when everybody had so much fun that weekend, then it was, oh, we've got to do this again. And then, you know, and I missed the old brochures when we did them by hand and they were stupid cutout pictures and clip art and... we were just making up stupid jokes all the time and things like that. That it was just, you know, it was fun and said, let's do it again. It was never a thought of, oh, well, we'll keep doing it. You know, it was several years later before it turned into, oh, this is an every year thing. It's automatic that we're doing this. But it was just, let's get the guys together. Let's have fun. We can't always do New Year's anymore. The wives are, you know, putting other demands on it. So let's make sure we can do this and have a weekend together.
And it's, I mean, not that we do, because we don't, I mean, it's a weekend for us to go away and drink, but compared to what we used to do, there's not near as much drinking.
You can tell how old everybody is, because when we first got together, it was, how much can you drink, how much did you drink, who were you dating, who'd you sleep with, who'd you, you know, the stupid questions. Now you get together and it's... you know, you have a few.
How long can I go this weekend without sleeping?
Right. And, you know, it used to be you would go.
When can I sleep this now?
Yeah. But now it's, you know, how's the kids? How's the, you know, what's going on with the house? And, oh, I learned, you know, this technique for taking care of the yard, and I did this. And we've gotten older, and it happens. And, but we can still have just as much fun. I mean, Jake at Big Country, who came a couple years ago, he's 18 hanging out with a bunch of 40-year-olds and had a blast and had so much fun. And he's one of the first ones every year to ask me, like, hey, when are we doing it again?
Yeah.
We've gotten older. We don't drink nearly as much as we used to. You know, we sleep now when we used to never sleep. I remember the one year, one of the years it was Tony and I had to drive back and I didn't sleep the whole weekend. I remember having to stop every 20 minutes on the drive home to wake myself up to, you know, make it back. And what was supposed to be a 2-hour drive turned into like 4.5 because I had to stop so many times. But that's all right. You know, I've joked in the past that eventually we're going to end up in a hotel.
Yeah.
Guys are be like, no, I got to have a real bed. No, I can't sleep on a cot. And, I hope we don't, but you know, who knows? But, to me, it's kind of like, you know, we had talked for a long time and people had talked about, oh, for the 20th or 25th, we should all go to Vegas or we should do something like that. And I don't want to because, you know, like we were talking about earlier, it goes back to, if we go to Vegas, we're not all going to be together. we're all going to be scattered, or everybody's going to be doing their own thing, or, you know, some will be in the poker room, and some will be at the blackjack table, and some will be not gambling, or some, you know, it's not the same event. If we want to take a guy's weekend to go to Vegas, I am all for that. But it's not going to be the symposium, because the symposium is about, you know, we didn't like all being in three cabins. It's going to lose something if we're all in Vegas.
Yeah.
And it's going to be a completely different thing. And I'm for it. I want to go do it. But this to me is a different kind of thing that I want to keep doing.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I've thought of it. I mean, because it sounds cool. But in theory, when you say we should all go to Vegas and do this, mm-hmm. it sounds, oh, that would be cool. But it wouldn't be what we're doing.
Yeah. Anything with Vegas in it is automatically good. But it would be a very different thing.
Yeah. That's about it. I'm trying to think. We started Bags, what, 3 years ago?
No, it's a little more than that now. It's got to be 4 or 5.
Or cornhole, depending on what you
want. It's got to be 4 or 5. Because Dave and Cliff won the boards the first year, and Chuck did them, and then Chuck missed a few years because of his job. So it's probably been 4 or 5 years now that we've been playing Bags. And that's a perfect Saturday morning activity because it doesn't take any real energy. You don't have to be good. You can just go out and do it and screw around with it. We pick teams randomly, or we've allowed people to pay to pick their teams and things like that. But even when they do that, even when we've allowed people to pay to pick their teams, those usually aren't the ones that win. You know, it's going to be something else. But yeah, that's one of those good just sit around Saturday morning, have a couple drinks, talk trash, you know, and just it also gets you out of the building for a little bit.
Yeah, without us having to go somewhere.
Yeah, we don't have to go drive. We just
walk outside. It's hard enough to get us all to get to the golf course on time and stuff.
Right.
When we go, but I mean, no, I like the Bags. I mean, like you said, it'd be fun to try to go do paintball again, but I just don't know how many we get to go do it.
There wouldn't be enough guys. I would prefer paintball, but I have fun at Bags, and more of the guys have fun at Bags. You know, we would have 10 of us trying to play paintball, and it just wouldn't work.
Yeah. I was going to try to do this, although not that it matters. Like you said, one of your biggest memories, you said, was going to the baseball game mm-hmm. that was a prior to. Trying to think, that's about it. All I can think of, outside, so let's see, cabins was probably the worst year. Not because it wasn't fun, but it was just, separated.
It was the wrong setup.
Yeah. Then getting back to the Legion Hall, where it's pretty much our permanent home now, and like you said, mm-hmm. walk in, and it just feels like we're supposed to be there.
Well, and it is kind of funny how everybody kind of knows already, like, you know, people have certain spots where they set up every year. It was fun the first year when Big Country set up in Bach's place because Bach comes late, and watching Bach get all pissed off about, wait a minute, that's my spot.
Yeah.
Really, it's where your cut goes at the Legion Hall. You have a spot. I can't imagine. It's going to be a while before we move from there. If the only reason would be if they, for some reason, didn't want us to come back. But I can't imagine why, because they make money and we take care of it.
That's the other thing, too, that I've noticed. We are actually, as rowdy as we are and as much as we get on each other, when we go somewhere or we do something, we are very respectful to wherever we're at. And like I said, half the time we leave the Legion Hall cleaner than we found it.
We leave that cleaner than we found it. We've never had a problem at a golf course, even though they had to follow us the 1 year. They were worried what we were going to be like, and we were perfectly fine. It wasn't as much fun because we were on our best behavior, but... and the year we got kicked off the golf course was just two women who didn't like us. We were actually, none of us were doing anything wrong. We let them play through. It was never a problem. Even when we went to the Cubs game and got kicked out, it was internal. We weren't causing problems for anybody else. It was the security guard worrying about something potentially happening, but it wasn't, you know, and then, so yeah, I mean, we've always been respectful. We never had a problem at the strip club. When we used to go there, that anybody got out of control. So it was never, we've never had a problem with that. And, you know, it's, you can be an asshole and be a jerk and screw around and all that and be completely respectful of everybody else.
Oh, yeah. Like I said, and usually if somebody comes up and says something to us, we mm-hmm. immediately get on whoever's being the troll wing. Right. Just calm it down.
That's never been a problem. That's never been a problem, and not something I've ever worried about.
Oh, no.
That's probably about all I have.
Well, good. I'm glad you're doing this again. You got to finish the rest of the years off.
I know. It's just...
These are fun. I mean, it's one of those things where as we've gotten older, I don't remember every detail anymore, and I mix up years, and...
Oh, like I said, I know, I mixed up the years, like I said, the year with the videotape, and the year with Tricky, right. The softball game. And,
yeah, I mean, and then stories become embellished over time, which is half the fun as well, so keep doing these. Get off your ass and start getting them done.
Yeah, I know, I need to. So that's about it.
Alright.
I will say goodbye, and I will... Either I know I gotta add stuff in the front and stuff in the back and edit probably this part out, but
alright. See everybody in 3 weeks.
All right.
Later.
Well, alright, that was my talk with Aaron, the man, the myth, the legend, AB. That's about it. So sorry about some of the sound quality on that, but it sounded okay to me when I re-listened to it. I can't guarantee what it's gonna sound like when you guys listen back. But I hope you enjoyed it, and I hope to at least get to talk to a few other of the guys. So, it's all good. So that's it, and hopefully I can get off my ass and record some of these other ones. Alright, so that's it for this episode of the CCMP Oddcast, or podcast. If you're a man, you'll understand. I'm out.